We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. How sweet it is.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff underscore Calkins. Jeff, how goes it?
I'm good.
Good
Better
to hear.
Than my dog. My dog was neutered today.
Oh, really?
So now he's wearing the cone, you know, he's wearing the big cone so he doesn't lick the place where his testicles used to be.
Probably incredibly high, though, right? So he's
no,
living
no,
life.
No, he's not very high. It must have been done in the morning. I know. He's fine. He just is, you know, now he's pawing at the cone on his head. Because the cone is awful, you know.
Yeah.
Cone is awful. Why am I wearing this stupid thing? But he would otherwise lick himself, you know.
No. So you could open up the stitches. We don't need that.
He'd open up the stitches, right. He'd open up the stitches. And we don't have any gore or whatever, so... So, I mean, between that trauma and the Stephon Diggs trauma,
I see a lot of Bills fans doing the coping thing of like, oh, he's someone else's problem now. Or, I mean, if it's trauma, this you do not feel good about this. You're not happy.
Well, yes and no. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't devastate me. The best scenario would have been a happy and productive Stephon Diggs, even as, you know, he's diminished. He's going to turn 31 this year. He didn't have 100 yards receiving after week 6. You look at his playoff, like, whatever. Like, he may no longer be a alpha number one, but the team, if he was happy, the team would have been better with Stephon Diggs than without him. Clearly, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, but given that he obviously wasn't happy, that he is, in fact, a malcontent, that he takes shots at his teammates, and that it's very clear he requested a trade, because the only thing Brandon Bean, the GM, said when he was asked about it was, he was asked if he requested a trade. And the answer was, you know, I'd just like to say that I have a very good relationship with his agent, and, you know, we continue to have a good relationship. And if we ever have other, you know, when, as long as we have players, you know, who are represented by him, I'm sure. Well, what does that mean other than, yes, he asked for a trade? Like, he didn't say yes or no, but he said, I have a good relationship. How is that answer responsive unless basically it's our agent asked us to move him? So he wants out. And so the downside is, you have an extra. He was already costing you $28 million on the cap this year, and now you got to take on an extra $4 million. So it's $31 million of dead money. But then you're done. Then you're done, mm-hmm. and you don't. You know, he won't be costing you $18 million. You know, the year after that and the year after that. And so the Bills are clearly a lesser team without Stephon Diggs, but he's also, you know, he's getting to the point in his career where he will start to diminish, and indeed already has. And if you look at what other players went for, like Keenan Allen went for a fourth, right? He caught 120 balls or something last year, right? And same basic kind of player, I think. Same basic level player. So it's fine. It's fine, you know. It's pretty clear that you can win a Super Bowl without a number one receiver. The problem is you might need a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame coach, and a Hall of Fame tight end to do it. So, to me, it's a step back for the Bills, but they'll have more money next year, more assets next year, and the NFL is entertaining.
Yeah, you have Josh Allen, and I think I want to buy some stock in Dalton Kincaid going into next year.
Oh, he's it.
I think I feel good about that.
It's going to be Dalton Kincaid. Yes, put him on your fantasy team. He had a great second half of the year, and I think he is going to be target number one. And then Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, okay.
And
all right.
He's okay. He's okay.
Yeah, he's
and then they'll do something. They'll either pick a.
Have you looked up draft targets at wide receiver?
People are already, because they lost Gabe Davis and they knew something ultimately would happen with Stephon Diggs, every Buffalo talk radio station, basically 24 hours a day, was already just talking about receiver targets. So that's what they, you know, that's what they're. That's certainly the problem is they picked 28, and at 28, so now there's speculation. Will they try to, you know, package this year's number one, next year's number one, do a Julio Jones kind of deal, go up and try to get one of the best three receivers?
Yeah.
I would not do that. I would stay put and take whatever, whether you like Mitchell from Texas or Leggett from South Carolina. Or, I mean, that's sort of the level of, you know, Brian Thomas from LSU probably won't still be available.
You probably have to trade up for him.
Yeah, I mean, even for him, I think he's going to go.
Are you a Ladd McConkey fan? I love me some Ladd McConkey.
I love Ladd McConkey. The problem is they really kind of need a true outside receiver, right?
Right. Xavier Leggett would be that type of guy.
Yeah, McConkey, I'd love Ladd McConkey. I'd be perfectly, you know, Ladd McConkey can do a lot of what Stephon Diggs can do. And so Stephon Diggs isn't actually anymore a true outside receiver. He's a precise route runner, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I'd be totally happy if they sat there and picked Ladd McConkey and then, you know, whatever, took Jerry Rice's kid in the third round.
Yeah.
Load up. I mean, you know, we saw Green Bay did that. Like, Green Bay just went out and got a bunch of young receivers. The Rams are loading up with young receivers. Like, you don't necessarily need I don't think you necessarily need a number one. Makes things easier, though.
Yeah. The Texans, though, on the other hand, good God. They said we have a second year quarterback on a rookie deal. Let's just buy every bit of talent on the open market that we possibly can while we can take advantage of this rookie contract. I'm impressed.
They have totally loaded up on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
You know, Daniel Hunter is going to be a monster there. I'll be interested to see. You know, Stephon Diggs, he pouts. He demands.
Yeah, that's a yes. Yep.
It'll be interesting because I think Nico's your number one there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Like, he's your, and so then you got Nico and you got Tank and you got, like, is that in fact going to be a problem?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think there's no question they're going to be a darling. You know, unless you're putting money on Kansas City, who else from the AFC would you pick to go to the Super Bowl?
Ravens.
It might well be the Texans.
The Ravens, too. Ravens are there. Although, I know you're...
I don't know if you've seen their quarterback.
Yeah, I know. I get it. The stats are there. I understand. But I like Derrick Henry there. I enjoy it. I think that will be helpful for their offense and for Lamar Jackson.
What's interesting, too, is that the Jets, for, like, whatever, I'll believe it when I see it, but they've added every single old dude they can possibly add.
Well, sneaky good O-line. Sneaky good.
If they're healthy.
Yes.
If they're healthy. That's what they've done. They keep adding. You know.
Like, their left tackle and right tackle might have a combined age of 100 at this point.
Right, exactly.
Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. How many games
have they played in the past, you know, 2 years, 3 years between them? So, but could be great. Could be great if they stay healthy. So that's interesting. One of the things that struck me was when the trade happened, which happened during my show. I was texting with the two of my three sons who care about sports, and it just reminded me, like, that's the fun part. Like, this stuff, even though it's, I don't think it was a great day for the Bills, Same thing with the Grizzlies. Like, we're about to embark on an off season for the Grizzlies. It's more fun than the season was,
right.
Unquestionably, right? Yep. You know, and it's part of the joy of sports is that, you know, and I'm sitting there texting with Ben and Peter.
It's the hope. It's the hope and the...
It's the hope and yeah. It's building the teams and it's all that stuff. It's just, it's fun. It really is fun. The Jets fans had a horrible season last year, but they enjoy the Jets fans enjoy every off season pretty much. And then the season starts and it goes to hell. But it reminds you, like, the games may be painful. The Bills, by the way, to play the Texans this year.
Yes.
And as on the Bills message board, what they're saying now is, well, this is what's going to happen. The Bills are going to beat Kansas City in the playoffs. And then they're going to lose to Stephon Diggs and the Texans in the AFC Championship game. Like, you try to figure out what's the most painful thing. If you're a Bills fan, that's what you do. You figure out what would be the most painful thing.
So it doesn't sound like the Bills off seasons are filled with all that much hope. Then, if that's already what you're talking about,
there's gallows humor.
Yes.
But the general view is what you see everywhere is you talk yourself into it, right? So most Bills fans they talk themselves into it. He was a cancer,
a little bit of coping too.
You don't need a number one receiver anyway, like that. Onward, and you know they looked at the last since Joe Brady became the offensive coordinator. You look at his targets. They were. You know, pretty pedestrian. Certainly not $18 million receiver worth of targets once for basically the second half of the year. I do wonder though if some of that was that he was taking himself out of the games. You know, with the way he was playing, if he was sort of mailing it in. But
yeah.
Made for an interesting day.
Yeah. Now speaking of hope, we do have the grit and grind Grizzlies. We have Marc Gasol day on Saturday and the whole nine yards. We talked about this a little bit earlier, me and Connor. We talked about the expectation of this Grizzlies team as compared to grit and grind Grizzlies. And we said the only real fair expectation for this new era of the Grizzlies is that they match the height of the grit and grind Grizzlies, which is that Western Conference Finals appearance. Of course, you want them to win at least one game in the Western Conference Finals. You want them to win a championship. But is that the only real fair expectation for this Grizzlies team? And how they're currently constructed and what they could potentially do with young core. They lucked into Ja way back when in the draft at number two. And I feel like the timeline all sort of matches with all these young guys. They're growing alongside each other, similar to what we've seen with the Celtics. Obviously, they added some guys this offseason, but Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in particular. But is that the only real fair expectations for what this team needs to accomplish by the time this whole thing's over?
Well, so... there are two questions embedded in that. What they need to accomplish and versus the... Like, I think if you are asking me, will they make a Western Conference Finals, right, in the next 5 years, right? Well, what are we going to say? Like, Jaren's only going to be here, we know, for two more years. But let's just say this something that looks like this core, whether it's Ja, Dez, Jaren, whatever else, over the next 5 years... would I bet that they will make a Western Conference Finals? The safest bet is to say no, because it's hard. You know, Oklahoma City's there, Denver's there. The Lakers are old, but you know what the Lakers do? They just go get the next star from somewhere else, right? New Orleans is who knows. Wembanyama is coming and is already a monster. So honestly, the likelihood that they will match what the previous team did, I think is less than 50%. I don't think it's much less than 50%, but I think the odds are they probably won't. If you were betting, I bet Las Vegas would say, will they make a Western Conference Final in the next 5 years? I bet you'd get better than 50%. But, you know, it would not be 50% odds that they will do it. But in terms of, so is that the expectation or the goal? I think the goal should be to at least get to a Western Conference Final. But a goal and an expectation are different. And so, yes, I would take it. If you're offering me right now, Jeff, in the next 5 years, I will guarantee you they will get to a Western Conference final, but they will not go beyond. Would you take that? I would take it.
Okay.
But I do think they have, I mean, I think they have the potential to go to a NBA final.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think they have the potential to win a title, so I don't roll those things out. But so much of this is like, so much of it is you get in the playoffs and then...
And you have to have good luck, which they have not had.
Yeah. Are they going to be healthy when they're in the playoffs? Is their opponent going to be healthy? Like the 1 year that they went to the Western Conference Finals, they played Oklahoma City without Russ, right? Because Russ got injured in the previous series.
I just know where the talk would head if they don't get to a Western Conference Finals at least. It would be, I mean, you say it's a goal. It would be very disappointing.
People will be disappointed. But you tell me. Would you bet right now $100 one way or another? Will they make a Western Conference Finals?
In the next five years? I'll say yes. I'll bet yes.
You think they will?
Yeah. I'll bet yes.
I think it's a close call. I think they'll finish in the top four next year. I think they'll be in the top. Like, I have high expectations for them, but I don't consider it an expectation to make a Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
I consider it a totally reasonable, achievable goal to at least make a Western Conference Final. And it will be disappointing if they don't, because you always, like, it was just disappointing, you know, that Clippers team with Chris Paul. And,
sure.
You know, they never made a Western Conference Final. Hell, did they ever win a series? Yeah, they won a series, but they never made a Western Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
That team never made a Western Conference Final. It's pretty easy to be pretty good and not make a conference final. So I think it is a totally reasonable thing. Hey, just do that. Go do one game better than, at least one game better than that team
right.
did. I'll say this. That team, the Core 4 team, I think got everything out of their talent. Some people will look, there's certain years folks will look at and say, I think they could have, you know, had Mike not broken
right.
his face. I think they
maxed out.
Whereas if this team doesn't get to a Western Conference Finals, it will feel like they fell short of where their talent could have taken them. But maybe it'll be because, you know, Jaren has a knee injury. Or, you know, you don't know. So I think this team has enough talent to do more than that team did. But, you know, the stars have to align.
Yeah. Now, we feel good about Tiger football heading into next year. These new contract clauses that Ryan got, we talked about this contract. Oh, favorable on both sides. Yeah. Everybody, you know, high five, slap hands. You look at these new clauses. Silverfield and CAA did pretty well for themselves, didn't they? I mean, you look at 10 regular season wins, gets him a $250,000 raise and a deal extended for 2 years on top of the 5 years they've already agreed to. And then if he wins 9 games, and there's no cap to this, so if he just keeps winning nine games, he gets a year extension. It feels like that could be a possibility. But he gets a 1 year extension, a $100,000 raise each year that he wins 9 games. This was some good negotiating on CAA's side and Silverfield's side.
What it does is, I agree with that, because what it does, what you don't want is to be trapped into Ryan if he has disastrous years.
Right.
You know, if he has even a 6-win season. Like Jeffrey doesn't believe, you know, didn't he have 2 consecutive 6-win seasons? Is that right?
Yes, 2 consecutive. Correct.
He had 2 consecutive 6-win seasons. He doesn't believe that, given the way things are and the way that money is pretty short, that a 6-win season would get Ryan fired. Right? And mm-hmm. So very clearly, if he's getting 9-win season, 10-win season, I don't think you should begrudge adding a year and adding some more money to this deal, because the amount of raise that was in this deal originally, at least base salary, is very modest, right? basically a $250,000 raise next year off what he would have been making. And so I think what you're doing there is you're saying, okay, as long as you continue to produce at a, you know, what's an 8-9 win season, B-plus level, we're not going to fire you, and we're happy to continue to extend your deal and add and to sweeten it up a little bit. But you're not getting that, you know, if there's a 6-win season.
Right.
You're not getting that if – and the truth of the matter is, like, there's a bowl – there's a $50,000 bowl. Is there a $50,000 bowl bonus if you win it? Like, that's actually pretty damn achievable in a bad year. Like, you could win 6 games, go to a bowl, get your $25,000, I think, for going to a bowl, and then 50 more for winning it. So, yeah, I thought it was – I still think it's a fair deal for both sides because I don't think the administration would mind at all, you know, adding the extra years or the extra money with a 10-win season. You know, 10-win season is pretty good. And if he can keep doing that, I don't think they'll mind, you know, they'll mind sprucing up this contract.
Now, last thing for you, AAC has a new commissioner. I'm not going to ask you to comment on Tim Pernetti, he's former Rutgers AD, IMG Academy president, that whole thing. I want to talk about the previous guy. I want to talk about Mike Oresko. A good or bad job, all said and done. I think obviously there was some good moments, and by the end when he got you know, schools poached, and then he added North Texas and Rice and the likes of Charlotte, I thought that was a little bit of a misstep. And his final move, I think, is the worst of the missteps.
Maybe.
Adding for football, but like all said and done, I didn't view his time as the commissioner of the AAC all that badly. I think some people are a little different.
I think it's a thankless task. What are you supposed to do? You know, you can't. Literally anyone who is invited to leave your club will leave your club.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know what you're supposed to do. So given that, I think he did a perfectly fine job. I mean, the whole, you know, the whole power.
Power six. Yep.
Yeah. That got to be a little, you know, but whatever. He's fighting for his conference. I don't really. We've obviously seen some commissioners who've made terrible mistakes, leading to the destruction of conferences
yes.
that should still exist.
Correct.
So I'm not saying, but I don't know what he was supposed to do to elevate the conference over what it currently is. And even the added, you know, the decision to add certain teams, is that driven by him or is it driven by university presidents? I don't, you know,
right.
I don't even know how much of that falls in his lap.
Yeah. There were better teams to add. I think we could, looking back, I think even in the moment, I think there were better teams to add. And we could
yes,
have
but
that.
But is that purely an Oresko decision,
right.
or was it
chancellors,
you know,
and presidents and athletic directors,
exactly.
All that? Yeah, but we've also seen that chancellors, athletic directors, and everything else can help you lose your job, like George Kliavkov. George Kliavkov
right.
listened way too much to those people, and that's why the Pac-12 no longer exists.
Right.
So
that is clearly true.
There is.
So.
Yep, for sure. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it.
Yep, see you again.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again tomorrow with Jeff, but he is on X at Jeff_Calkins, Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show right here from 9 to 11 on 92.9 FM ESPN. Oxbow family-owned and operated retail store right at 964 June Road. Very convenient location off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station. Make sure you get over there. You can get the best clothing in the best brands. Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Main. You can get sports memorabilia if you're a diehard fan. Hunting and outdoor essentials if you're an adventurous soul. You can even get some vintage vinyl. They have some vintage vinyl over there if you love music and you have a record player. So get over there, take advantage of what they have. And if also worth mentioning, if you get to the Grove, if you get to Tiger Lane and you do some tailgating, they have cups, koozies, coolers, tumblers. You'll love what you see when you get to 964 June Road. And you can also go online if you want to get the selection online, if you want to do some online shopping. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them. And when you go to ShopOxbow.com, what I can do for you is give you 20% off your online order. When you go to checkout and you fill that shopping cart up, there's going to be a spot to put in a promo code. In that promo code slot, put The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off that online order at ShopOxbow.com. But you can go there online, or you can go to 964 June Road, right off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station. But remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now, we have our weekly Showboats guest, and this week is a guy who had two sacks, a tackle for loss. He was phenomenal in the opening week game where the Showboats beat the Houston Roughnecks on the road 18-12. But Greg Reeves will join next.
The Gabe Coon Show Afternoon.
Back in on the Gabe Coon Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And joining me now is outside linebacker for the Memphis Showboats, number 41, Greg Reeves. They had a 18-12 win over the Houston Roughnecks in Houston last weekend. And Greg had three tackles, two sacks, a tackle for loss, and a forced fumble that were very, very massive in them securing that win. But he joins now. He is on X. Let's see. On X at G underscore Reeves 41. Greg, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Gabe. Thank you for having me. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. Another day, another dollar. I know. You know how that goes. You felt good. You felt good last weekend headed into week one. That was phenomenal, man. What sort of led to that? How was the off season for you? How was training camp and leading into game one that sort of led to what you were able to do? Two sacks, a forced fumble. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, just a whole lot of preparation, you know, going into the season. Great camp. Coaches just putting us in the right position to succeed, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Thank God as well, because I couldn't do it without him.
Yeah.
Just blessed, you know.
For sure. I hear you. Now, what I do with all the players that join me on Wednesdays is I have to ask, because this is a league of opportunity. I think that's what's been preached to you guys, putting together the USFL and the XFL, this big talent pool, the guys that get through. You're the elite of the elite, and you're trying to get that next shot, potentially get to the NFL, wherever the road takes you. So tell me about your story. What led you to where you're at right now, playing on the Memphis Showboats, and what happened last week?
It all started out of from Florida boy,
right.
You know, played down in Manatee High and then ended up going off to college at the University of South Florida. Played there 5 years, ended up getting my master's, and, you know, coming out, I ended up getting a shot as an undrafted free agent with the L.A. Rams. It was that COVID year, 2019. Ended up getting released the second week of camp, trying to keep the numbers down because of the way they wanted to practice with COVID. And then I was back on the streets, you know, kind of searching, looking for a job, trying to figure out. And then, a year later, the USFL popped up and, got that opportunity there and just kind of been rocking with them ever since. And they've kind of grown. I was with the Tampa Bandits and ended up with the rebranded Showboats. And now I'm here in the UFL.
Yep. Now, holler at me about South Florida. You know, I am I played at Memphis from 2013 to 2017. Your one game that you would have been able to play against me was that 2016 game, and that would have been 49-42. You guys came to our place, and I will say this.
Yeah, I remember that.
I will say this, though, and maybe you see this differently, but this is how I see it. Okay, and y'all had a high-powered offense. That's why it was a high-scoring game. Quentin Flowers and Rodney Adams and Marquez and all those guys. This is how I remember it. We had a slant over the middle, Anthony Miller coming out of the slot, and he got tackled in the end zone. We didn't get a flag, though, and that's why that game was not able to get extended. We didn't go to overtime. Do you see it that way? Do you remember that game?
I remember the game. I don't necessarily remember that play. I remember freezing my butt off.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's a little different in Tampa than it is in Memphis late in the year. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was a night game. Yeah, it was crazy.
How were your times in South Florida, though? How did you like playing in the AAC? I know I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a whole lot. It was a lot of fun. Got to go out and compete each and every week. Every once in a while they'll let us go. We'll go play a Power Five school. Great to go out and compete and play some D1 football. And guys like I said, Memphis. We had UConn and UCF back in the day.
Yep. How were those rivalry games with UCF, by the way? Those looked awesome every single year.
For sure. I remember probably one of the funnest games I ever played, and it was 2017 in a war on I-4. That was versus UCF, and that was a crazy game. I mean, we came up on the short end, but it was a heck of an experience. Sold out crowd, Good Friday. It was
right.
Fun, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, man. The UCF teams were the bane of my existence. I lost to them twice my senior year. Got into that, I don't know if you remember that, it was 62-55 final score and double OT where we ended up losing. They went on to beat Auburn that year, I believe, it was at the Peach Bowl. But those teams, man, they used to have, Scott Frost had them humming. And before that, they were terrible there for some years.
Oh, yeah. They had a quick turnaround.
Do you think
in the water? I know what happened.
Yeah, you say you're a Florida boy. Is it easy to recruit the state of Florida?
Is it easy?
Yeah, is it easy to recruit
the state of Florida? I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, there's the one thing that it always bothered me about playing Central Florida and South Florida. Y'all had crazy speed, always, and I don't know I don't know where that comes from exactly, but it's always you could just count on it. And like Temple, you play against Temple, you play against UConn. They're sort of bigger and they're stronger. They're going to be tough on defense. You guys had speed, 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 and that was always a constant.
Yeah, it's all over the state. You know, I had to deal with it in high school, and then the college recruiters just went out. They love the guys down in Miami because I don't know what's in the water down there. I heard they be chasing rabbits or something
I feel like that's a old wives' tale, right? That's more legend, right? The chasing the rabbits out of the burning fields.
I don't know.
My gosh,
I don't believe it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how excited are you? You guys are going to be in front of the home crowd, heading into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, somewhere I believe you played during your college days. But you're headed back to Memphis this week to play the San Antonio Brahmas. What's your travel schedule looking like, and how excited are you to be in front of this home crowd?
I'm pretty sure they got us getting out there on Friday night. Sometimes they're going to fly us out there. That's pretty exciting. I'm super excited to get back to Memphis. I really just love the environment.
Yep.
And, the crowd, just the camaraderie, the way the fans just kind of riled around us. Last year we were there, we were actually in the city. Just to feel like Memphis has its own heartbeat, and it's a different city, different place, just family atmosphere.
Did you ever play at the Liberty Bowl in South Florida?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, did you have some good production when you played on the Liberty Bowl turf?
With Memphis last year, but I mean that
right.
The year I played you guys, I was younger, so I was just on kickoff, you know, running down and little special teams guy.
I hear
helping out any way I could.
I hear you. Well, I'll let you get to it, man. Appreciate you joining, and good luck this weekend.
All right, appreciate it, Gabe.
Yeah. That is Greg Reeves at @G_Reeves41 in their win last week. The Showboats handled business against the Roughnecks 18-12. Again, two sacks, a tackle for loss, and a forced fumble. And he's looking to do that next week, or this week, I should say, coming up at 11 a.m. on Saturday against the San Antonio Brahmas. So I'm rooting for him. Although, full disclosure, Connor, I talked about it. I saw he went to South Florida, and I was trying to get a leg up. I was trying to get the bragging rights, but he's got the bragging rights. It's honestly a tough scene.
It is. It's a very tough scene.
It's a really tough scene for me. I'm not overly happy about it, but you know what? They were good teams back then. South Florida, growing through, like at least in my era, they were always insanely good. Insanely good. And then they had some coaching switches, and it started to go downhill. And I think Golish is picking it right back up.
It's like you said, I always, every time South Florida, I was always just like, damn, this team is fast on both sides of the ball.
Oh, my gosh. I remember there was an end around one year. I think it was that exact game in 2016. Rodney Adams took it about 92 yards on an end around, and no one touched him. I mean, track speed, and he finished through the line. It was ridiculous.
Well, because those Tigers teams back then
and Marquez
were
Valdez
crazy
Scantling.
Fast.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, oh, my God, South Florida can keep up.
And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I played with him at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Obviously played against him in college a bunch. He ran a 4.3. The speed in South Florida is absolutely insane. Insane. Now, you need to be speedy and get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers coming up this Saturday, March 30th, because Robert Irwin Jewelers right there off of Perkins Extended is having their 6 hour 60% off sale. So make sure you get over there. This is a real deal. 60% off sale. No marking up to markdown for 6 hours starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday. You'll be able to get some stuff over at the Perkins Extended location of Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's see. What do they have here? 60% off designer jewelry, engagement rings, diamonds, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, name brand watches are even 60% off. So make sure that you get over to the Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins Extended. They have special financing available, 6 months interest free at Robert Irwin Jewelers this Saturday, in store only at the Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins Extended. So make sure you get over there. Sale end will be on Saturday at 4 p.m. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now we need to get into small talk. And before the Masters, it looks like Tiger Woods has an interesting way that he's getting prepped. So we'll talk about the way that Tiger Woods is getting prepped for the Masters coming up next when we return right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're looking for some sips that pair well with postseason basketball, I have the place for you. That would be Old Dominic Distillery. Make sure that you go check out Old Dominic Distillery, but also go buy bottles of Old Dominic when you go to your local liquor store. I know how tempting it is to go buy that national brand you've been buying for years. You've been reaching for it. It's hard to break the habit. I get it. I completely understand. But whatever that bottle contains, Old Dominic Distillery does it better. They have gin, they have vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon, multiple selections of each. And it's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in the city of Memphis. And it's pretty simple why that's the case. The distillery's here. It's going to be fresh. It's right here on the riverfront, 305 South Front Street. They have events all the time over there, too, by the way. So go check those out at olddominic.com. You can check out all their products. You can book a tour and tasting. So make sure you check all that out. Old Dominic Distillery, come say hi. All right, let's go ahead and get into small talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, as we prep for the Masters Tournament coming up next week, Tiger Woods is making his preparations, and his preparations involve a lot of things. Just some serious, drastic measures to ensure that he's ready to play, because he had to drop out and withdraw last year. He doesn't want that to happen again. We know that Augusta's a course that he's owned over the years. He doesn't want to get owned by it like he did a year ago. Now, the New York Post talked to a friend of Tiger Woods, and he said he's focused. He's very, very focused. He's in the gym every day. He's getting on the course every day. But then he went out of his way to say he's working really hard. He's eating right. He even eliminated sex. Tiger Woods, the 48-year-old golfer, has eliminated sex in preparations for the Masters. And his friend also said he does that now when he's preparing. No sex until the tournament is over. He doesn't want anything to take away his focus. All right, now I think there's been multiple studies in the past that say sex leading up to a sporting event, it's actually good because you replenish your testosterone, you do all those things, whatever. I don't really know the full studies. I didn't look up the study to talk about this today. But I will say, you know, he may have some pent-up testosterone. He may have some rage going into the Masters that could get him through to be able to walk that tough course. I have no idea. It feels like golf, though, of all of the sports that you'd go celibate for, it feels like golf is probably the one that I would say is the least necessary. You don't need to go celibate to play golf.
Yeah, probably not, but I'm also just not going to tell Tiger Woods how to prep for
no,
the Masters.
No, I get it. You know, I understand.
If that's
it.
What Tiger Woods believes he needs to do to be able to play the Masters, by all means. Please, I want to make sure that Tiger Woods
can play
the Masters.
if he's not having sex from now until the tournament ends, he's not going to shake hands. He's going to be an angry fellow. He's going to have a different rage about him by the time he hits that course. By the time he gets to Augusta coming up on Thursday,
he's just like Happy
God.
Gilmore screaming every single time he hits the ball.
But this is something, because we know that in his past he is to prep for tournaments that he's won, I would venture to say, Connor, he probably hasn't given up sex in the past to go play the Masters. In the past.
Probably not.
But he's 48.
What we know of Tiger Woods, I would say
he's 48
probably
now.
Not.
I mean, he's 48 now, maybe. I don't know. You start to lose testosterone. You start to lose your giddy-up, I guess, as you get older in age, as you get to your 50s.
Sure.
And I don't want to hate on any of the people that are above 50 at this station, my colleagues, but that's just how life works. Life has this cycle. It's tough. But giving up sex to play the Masters. Okay. I think they did a sports science on this years ago, Connor.
I 100% remember watching
this sports. It was a boxer, right?
And I feel like it makes sense for fighting. Like, I get that. It raises your testosterone, all that. Like, makes, but for golf? All right. Again, I don't know if that 100%.
I don't know how to feel about it. Maybe he'll play better. Maybe we'll see. This is going to be a trial and error situation where we see if he plays better golf because he's going celibate. But just know, when you see Tiger Woods tee off at Augusta, he has not had sex in a while. Big, big news. Big news. But we need to go ahead and transition to another half hour. We'll pass you off to the Grizzlies at the Bucks at about 6:30. Tip will be at 7. But coming up next, we have to talk some college football with my guy from ESPN, Adam Rittenberg.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.